Zeke Elliott, longest run of the year right there. 30 yards.
So far.
So far, yes. We'll see what happens tomorrow against the Rams. Matt McLaren, DJ Ringenberg here. It is the show on ESPN Radio, 103.3 FM. Coming up top of the hour, we'll update you on some of the early college football scores. Take a look at the Big 12. Are we in, perhaps, for a TCU-Oklahoma State rematch in the Big 12 title game? Will Oklahoma have something to say about that? It's coming your way at 1 o'clock. But right now, as you heard, Zeke Elliott, who tomorrow, by the way, could be his last game for several weeks. Tomorrow is October 1st, Rams-Cowboys, and then Monday, October 2nd, the Federal Appeals Court will hear oral arguments in the NFL's bid to reinstate Zeke Elliott's six-game suspension. The 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans. So it's very possible they hear those things, and then sometime this week, they reinstate that suspension after the issue of District Judge Amos Mazant's ruling where he granted the request for an injunction that at the time had blocked the suspension. It's possible the Court of Appeals lifts it. If they do so, then the suspension would take effect immediately, which would put Zeke out, I believe, until Thanksgiving, which is the 23rd of November against the Chargers. So tomorrow could be the fourth and final game that we see Zeke for a while.
Yeah, and Clarence Hill Jr. and me did game night last night, and he's in on all the conference calls, you know, all of the communication going back and forth here. And the way that he felt the wind was blowing, he said that the NFL's legal team is feeling fairly confident that the judge is going to rule in their favor in this situation. Now, I think there were reports that said very similar things leading up to Mazant granting the stay and allowing Zeke to play, that there was thought that the NFL might get a favorable ruling then too. So at this point, it is just speculation, but there is a better than not chance that this is going to be his last game for a while. And this next six-game stretch after the Rams game is five really tough games, and then at San Francisco. So you're going to be losing him for two NFC East matchups. The two most important ones, since now we know that the Giants are going to be gone, or since they're not in the, you know, since they're not a serious contender. And this is a big one. I mean, it just adds more important. We don't know if it's going to come down or not, but something to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah, and if that happens again, the six he would miss, home against the Packers, the road game against the 49ers and Washington, home against the Chiefs, on the road against Atlanta, and then home against the Eagles would be the six games that he would miss. And then you kind of wonder, who would be the main guy to fill in? It's been Alfred Morris has been the active back behind him. And then, of course, Rod Smith, who got a few looks last week. Darren McFadden, who was essentially in the preseason the main back you would have thought if Zeke was going to go away, hasn't been active at all so far this season. He's still listed as second on the Cowboys depth chart. I've heard the idea that they didn't want to use McFadden in case they lost Elliott and needed him. They wanted McFadden to be fully healthy and rested and ready to go. Perhaps that's what they're doing. Who knows? Would they activate McFadden? Would he become the number one with Morris as the fill-in guy? Would it be vice versa?
Well, part of it, too, early in the season was that Alfred Morris has more experience against the Giants in week one. So that was why. That was the original reason given of why he was the second on the depth chart for that week. Maybe he's just earned it. I mean, maybe he's just been a little bit better. But now whenever you're talking about a feature role, something to me feels more comfortable with Darren McFadden. I don't really have a good way to quantify it. Maybe just that he's filled that role more and that we've seen him have success, a lot of success really, as a Cowboy in that role. Either way, though, I think the offensive line is going to continue to get better.
Right.
It's going to continue to gel. As long as Chaz Green can stay healthy and you don't have Jonathan Cooper there as a, you know, a glaring low point on your line. Much more glaring, I think, than last year, where Doug Free is your weak point, yet he is a solid veteran, you know, that's still going to make some mistakes. But Jonathan Cooper's just not on, he's not on that level. That's the one thing that could kind of sink things there. I think that the run game is going to be okay. I think that the offense is far from the problem here with the Cowboys.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, again, Alfred Morris so far in three games has 4 carries. Rod Smith has 2 carries. So it's not like they're using somebody to spell Zeke at all, really, ever, on this thing. So if Zeke is to go away for 6 games, we'll find out who it will be. If Zeke is going to be here, which he will be tomorrow. And by the way, Cowboys game day with myself, Matt McLaren, and Nate Newton will get you going at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning for 2 full hours leading up to the kickoff at noon between the Rams and the Cowboys. But Zeke so far this season, the question was thrown out. Jacques Taylor asked it. We talked about it, Steve Dennis and I, on the postgame show with Tim McMahon last week after the Monday Nighter against the Cardinals. And Zeke was asked directly about it this week in the Cowboys locker room about if something different going on with him in his speed, his burst, his weight, whatever it is, between this year and last year.
Zeke, there were some people that talking about that 3rd and 1 where you're saying you didn't think you could have stayed vertical. Some people are saying that's a play last year you take to the house, and they're saying that maybe you're a half a step slower. The people that are saying that, what's your response to that?
Shut up.
Fair enough. So you don't feel like you're any slower?
No.
No. Okay.
Well, he's saying that to us because watching that game, it was a play last year that he scores on. And I thought as soon as he broke past the line, I was like, oh, that touchdown. And he didn't have something. Is he heavier? I don't know. JJT did a thing trying to find out that maybe, if anything, he's a pound or two heavier. Does it make that big of a difference?
I don't
Surely
think so.
Not.
No.
The idea that he's not as defined as he was when you see his abs this year as opposed to his last year at Ohio State and last year as a rookie. He's not as totally shredded, just kind of shredded.
I don't know if I buy that either. I mean, the thing is with these guys, I think it's so part of their routine, the working out and stuff like that. Right. I don't think that the conditioning is so much the problem or the being in shape is the problem. I think it's just, it could be a situation where it takes him a little bit longer to get going. That, I think that's a factor. And then I think the second factor in all this is mental fatigue more than anything. I think he underestimated how much of a weight is placed on you being a superstar, not just a superstar in the NFL, though, a superstar for the most visible team in the NFL that also has lots of small little brush fires that he continues to light around himself and the attention that he gets. Because I think the mindset that you have whenever you're a young superstar like he was in college was, as long as you perform, it's kind of like how Dak says, everything that Dak gets comes with winning on the field and comes with performance. I think that Zeke's mindset growing up was, if you play well, you can get away with pretty much anything, and that people are just going to leave you alone and they're just going to let you skate by because you are so valuable. And I think he underestimated how much attention he was going to be getting due to all this, and then you throw in the massive amount of attention that the court case has led to. I think he's just over it. I think he's sick of having to go through the routine of talking to the reporters, answering the same questions over and over that he can't really answer. It's dragging out on the field a little bit. And I think that it's just getting to the point where he's frustrated that he isn't having a ton of success early on. And the attention isn't going away, and it's only getting more magnified.
Yeah, and you look at it, it's also the offensive line holes. This is a guy, Zeke Elliott, who right now is 2nd in the NFL in yards after contact, because he is getting hit a lot earlier than he was last season. And we've seen that. I mean, in the Monday night game, yeah, he had the 20-yard and the 30-yard, and there's an 8-yard run in there, but he also had six runs that were 0 yards or negative yards, which you never saw that last year, him getting hit in the backfield like that. And part of that is because of the offensive line and the fact that it hasn't gelled. We talked about it a little earlier, the guys that left, that perhaps this is a bigger deal than any of us realized. Second half of that Arizona game, offensive line started to come together a little bit better, and the hole started to open up a little bit more, and he's able to accumulate some of those yards that we're used to him having. I mean, right now he's only at 3.5 yards a carry. That's not all him.
Right. It's a collective. Yeah. There's no question.
Slower? I don't know. He looked on that run, and there's another run, too. I don't think it was a 20-yarder, but there was one that was 8 yards where he had got outside. And last year, it just felt like he took some of those further than he went on Monday night.
It's hard to quantify. Steve Dennis has watched more Zeke Elliott games than anybody else, and that's what he says. He says something's missing. There's some sort of spark that isn't quite there that he doesn't. Like whenever you watch Saquon Barkley run now at Penn State, very similar style of runner to where he can run between the tackles, he can get to the outside, and he's gone. Very similar player there. And the way that Barkley has been hitting the edge this year, it looks like Zeke Elliott last year. Zeke hasn't had that look this year. He's just looked much more pedestrian. And I'm not going to say that he's not going to go on to have a 12 to 1,400-yard season because I think he's still going to. Very good chance, though, that last year was the best Zeke Elliott year that you'll ever see. The combination of the offensive line that was put together there, Dak being so accurate and able to keep drives going to where he was getting a lot more opportunities against a much softer schedule. Everything lined up perfectly for last year. I don't think Zeke is ever going to have a year quite like that again.
Yeah, if he plays all 16, then with 13 more games to go, he's only got 192 rushing yards right now. So to get to, what, 1,600, which I don't think that's going to happen either this year at this point, but for him to do that in the final 13 games, I guess it's possible. But he's going to have to average, what, that's over 100 yards a game for him to get to that level.
And they've got some nasty defenses still to go.
You know, but he last year had that run of five straight games over 130 yards or more in a row, which is part of why he was able to get that done. Can he do that again this season at some point? Maybe. He's got to average 108 yards a game from here on out to get to that 1,600 plateau.
I'm not betting against him. I'm just saying
that. That's the thing. As the line comes together, if he's healthy, he looks like perhaps, you know, and maybe he did. We saw it all offseason, the reports, the partying, him going out a lot. Maybe it's taken him a couple of games more to get into the flow of this thing, which really seems like it's taken everybody in the NFL. You haven't, until last week, you hadn't seen a bunch of 100-yard rushing games and a bunch of 100-yard receiving games.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, you started to really feel like guys were getting more into the flow of it, so perhaps it's just that natural progression.
I think it's worth mentioning, too. I mean, even last year, he started slow. Now, he didn't have a 8-yard performance in week two, but it took him 3 or 4 games before he really hit his stride. So I think the jury's still out.
I mean, people are so reactionary. I mean, it was, I listened to the post game on my way home from Denver after the Denver game. I mean, people were literally, if there would have been cliffs here around DFW, there would have been lines of people ready to jump off of this Cowboys season.
It's true, yeah.
I mean, people are so reactionary on a week-to-week basis, especially for a non-divisional game, you know, on the road against another playoff team. I mean, the overreaction was just ridiculous there. First half of the first game of the season where everyone's saying, well, Dak just looks terrible. Something looks different. He's just off. Let's just ease into this season. I know it's going quick. I know that we're already, a quarter of the way through the college season. There's a long way to go in the NFL season still. Let's let this team figure out who they are before we start throwing out these harsh judgments that Zeke has done, you know, that is too much for him.
And let's not forget, he does have that 100-yard game week one against the Giants, and there have only been 13 100-yard rushing games so far through 3 weeks. Kareem Hunt has 2 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the only running back in the NFL that has gone over 100 yards twice. Everybody else, and I mean, name LeSean McCoy, Devonta Freeman, Le'Veon Bell with Pittsburgh, all these guys that are supposed to be these dominant rushers, they're also kind of struggling to start the season. So keep that in mind as well.